B-Pod Studios.
This is Solak and Bertrand.
I think that's sort of low class.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's very hypocritical for the end. Again, you want to make you want to go out there and you want to make you want to make him an example, and so you want to say, listen, we can't have our players making bets. All right, fair. But you go out there and you have them and you give them a 2 or a 4 or whatever it might be, a suspension, not for the year. That's a little rough. The NFL, that is in bed with the gambling industry, in bed, anything to make more money. That's all they care about. Anything. Make an extra buck. I got Mariucci doing commercials, for crying out loud. Don't bet more than you can. It works the NFL Network. My God. Yet Ridley gets thrown out of the league for a year. Come on, Rod. Sean, please. Don't be a phony. Don't be a phony. At least acknowledge the fact, you know what? It's hard for us to throw Ridley out for a year when we make a fortune with gambling places. That's a little rough. You got to be fair. And if you think that Roger doesn't put a couple of bucks down once in a while, you think again. You think, well, hold on now. If that's the case, why don't we eliminate all the boxes at the Super Bowl? Everybody plays one of those dopey boxes. That's gambling. Yeah, it's a game of chance. That's gambling. You don't think Roger with his $45 million house in Maine doesn't go up there? Well, he's not there. But, you know, somewhere along the line, Raj doesn't have a relative. You know, buy a box for $100. If you think that, you are smoking. He's got more boxes than you can check a stick at.
Now, I love Mad Dog, but that is a horrendous take. Horrendous. And you've heard it in a lot of places today, because a lot of people revert to that logical fallacy of always wanting to claim someone's a hypocrite.
Yep, you're in bed with them.
So what's your argument for that, Mad Dog? Is it to allow gambling? Allow the players to bet on the games? If Roger Goodell is a phony, the opposite of that is allowing the players to bet. That's what it is. Because a year is not that big of a suspension. It isn't. If he had suspended him indefinitely, lifetime ban or something of that nature, maybe you'd have a case. But to call Roger Goodell a phony on this is to say you endorse gambling by players on the sport that they play.
Nope.
And his argument, and many people's argument, because he's not alone in this take today, that the league will do anything for a buck and that it's all about money and they're making all this money on gambling, so are the players. There are some estimates that gambling will eventually be worth more than $2 billion a year in revenue for the NFL.
My God!
One piece of research says it's going to be worth $2.3 billion in revenue sometime within the next decade. So about 10 years out, they could be doing more than $2 billion a year. Do you know what that means? 48% of that goes to the players. They're approaching $500 million right now in their partnerships on gambling. $500 million a year. 48% of it goes to the players. It's really not that hard. Guys, you're in the sport. You make millions of dollars. You will reap 48% of the money we make on the gambling stuff. You are not allowed to bet on these games.
You can't bet on the games you play. You're in the league. You're the product. We're allowing you to bet on other sports. You just can't bet on your own. Your league. It's that simple. There's other ways you could go gamble. You read him off earlier. Florio got the clarification. You can gamble on sports. Just can't gamble in the NFL while you're playing in it. When you're retired, knock yourself out. Just wait. You know, it's a special opportunity you get. You know, you're one of 53 to go play the damn game. You're the product. Can't bet on it. That's integrity in game. It's period. Period. That's it. Can't do it. I don't know why people get so pissed at Goodell on this. And I'm not the biggest Goodell fan, but it's clear. Hey, this is stupidity on his part.
Cut and dry.
Yeah. There's no gray area here.
The NFL is not being hypocritical. They're not. They're not being hypocritical. This has always been the rule prior to them ever making a dime off of gambling. It will continue to be the rule. But now players actually, along with NFL owners, receive a pretty significant benefit as a result of gambling. And I would say one of the benefits of the league is that as more and more gambling is legalized and is taking place legally, they have more opportunities to weed out anyone that is conducting themselves this way, the same way they did with Calvin Ridley. They caught Calvin Ridley because he placed a legal bet in a state that had legalized gambling for like a month or 5 weeks or something. You know that? Florida had it, and now they don't have it?
That's weird.
I don't know what the hell happened down there. I haven't followed that story closely, but I know that Daniel Wallach and the sports legal types have been covering that situation there. They had sports gambling, and then they didn't. What's better? Is it better to have had sports gambling and lost it? Or is it better to never have had gambling at all here in Massachusetts?
You never wanted that taste of it, right? You never wanted that extra money coming into the state. Yeah.
What's better? Dennis is in Rockland. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
Of course you can't bet on be a participant if you have an active role like the players do. But my only problem with legalized gambling, it reminds me of softcore porn. I don't like my filth that clean. Because back when I was in college in the mid-70s, I actually worked in a bar that was owned by a bookmaker. And that's where the juice was. That you were sort of in on the inside and you bet some games. It's like everything is just so sanitized now. Like, go to dispensary to buy some weed.
Oh, my God!
I thought you were going to say back in the 70s you did some softcore porn.
That's what I thought it was going to. Yeah.
That was going to be awesome.
I was in 8 films.
Yeah. It does take some of the fun out of it.
Yeah.
It definitely... The legalized gambling definitely caters to the sickness element in a more
acceptable, socially acceptable,
cleaner
way.
Fashion. Yes. You're not right.
Eliminates any of the hurdles that may exist.
Washed.
Yes. That's true.
Yes.
Yeah. It's washed. That is true.
Yeah. You know, that dirty bar where one guy's in the back smoking a cigarette with a beer and he's got his papers there and he's got the newspaper folded over with all the latest betting lines. Checking things, highlighting.
We'll say that the average guy can't go bet money he doesn't have at a lot of places that are on the legal side of things.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to put your money in before you can bet.
Yeah, you've got to deposit your money before you start placing bets.
Create an account.
Right. Unless you're someone who's a much bigger gambler with the casino, but...
He's just saying it takes the fun out of it. It does. It takes the fun out of it a little bit to legalize it. Part of the thrill... is you're not really supposed to be doing it.
Right.
I got some action on this.
Oh, damn it. I
got
to meet that bookie.
617-779-0985. What happened to the Bruins last night, T-Bone? What's going on over there?
Scheduled loss.
I think T-Bone's upset for nothing, quite frankly.
They lost.
He keeps repeatedly calling it a bad loss.
He blew it.
You feel like that's a bad one last night. 3-2 in overtime. Kings get a win at the Garden. We'll touch on that coming up. Some other items, including... Kyle Van Noy getting cut yesterday, and this Calvin Ridley story is something we'll be talking about all day long. So we'll get to all your calls coming up next in the Bruins. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We'll take your calls on anything.
Call us here for sports.
Sports calls next at 617-779-0985.
Zorak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kings win the draw. High slot. Dursey feeds to the far side. Chisel out in front. They score. 6-on-5. Trevor Moore got free. Drives it home. And with 25 seconds left in the third, the Bruins 2 and the Kings 2. Catches the puck, then lost it at the blue line. Getting it back is Coyle with a step, right circle. Looks to the middle, gave it away. And now you've got a foot race. Athanasiou into the slot, angled out by McAvoy. Shoots, he scores! Andreas Athanasiou drove it over the blocker hand of Linus Ullmark. Kings victorious in overtime over the Bruins, 3-2.
I thought that was good right from the start. Didn't think I got any better. We have put a solid game. Some unlucky bounces, and that's what it comes down to in this league sometimes, you know. It's a good team in front of us, and that's it.
Linus Allmark last night after the game, he actually played well, T-Bone. You have any complaints about Linus Allmark?
Yeah, a little bit.
What?
I don't like him as much as Swayman.
Well, who does? Nobody does. You know, last night was one of those nights where you got some of that secondary scoring. And Charlie Coyle was helping.
Is that a good loss or a bad loss?
And then he turns the puck over there before the final goal, which is a bit of a problem for him. So,
is this a Beetle victory lap?
It's a weird night. It's a weird night, T-Bone, because the crappy goalie played okay.
It's a good loss.
And there was some secondary scoring there, but the end result wasn't good.
Yeah, like, you didn't play like crap. They got you. They beat you fair and square.
T-Bone thinks they played like crap.
I don't think they played like crap.
I didn't say that.
You said it was a bad loss.
Yeah, what did you say last night? You were all butthurt about something. That was bad.
That was a bad loss. Remember that if you're fighting for if you need that point at the end of the year. Remember that.
What's with the late collapses for the Bruins? What's with that? Oh, maybe the
sneaky bad 6-on-5 team.
Sneaky bad closing team.
Although the other time was 6-on-4, so
not sneaky bad inability to close.
I'm not seeing that.
What?
The inability to close.
Well, I think that there is some good. There is a silver lining to that last night. And that is getting guys from goals that are not Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak.
Which they've been getting.
Right.
I know. They didn't get them last night.
Well, though. They won 7 out of their last 9.
Yeah, you're in good shape. You got a ton of breathing room. I mean,
three of them were one goal games, and one of the loss and the two losses were one goal games. So,
if that's Swayman and that game goes the way it goes, I think we're a little more upset today. But the fact it was Allmark and you thought, you know, played somewhat decent.
If you got a
collapse at the end,
yeah, you got a problem with them giving up the lead twice and allowing the late goal. I get it.
Lose on a breakaway.
Yeah, I'm not saying you have to love it, but I don't think of it as being a bad loss either. It's like, remember that one. Why? Why remember that one?
Because you're in a playoff push and you're fighting for every point you can have.
Ah.
But that was against a good team who...
That you beat 7-0 last week.
Okay, so what do you think is more indicative of the Bruins? The team that beat the Kings 7-0 or the one that lost a close one to him last night.
I like that.
In a series.
Last night. Either way.
Last night.
I think it's last night.
Yeah. I don't know anymore. That's your Bruins in a series right there.
If you think they're a team that's going to go out and roll good teams 7-0.
I don't think anyone thinks so.
Well, then, yeah, that's a terrible loss for you last night because that was a huge dose of reality. I think they're a good team, and they lost to another good team last night. You're not going to win out. You're going to lose some close ones. I'm not bothered by it. I'm really not. I'm not even bothered by that. I saw what Charlie Coyle was trying to do on that last pass. Ill-advised in that moment, you know, with a lot of open ice, 3-on-3. Yeah, okay, not great. But Allmark even said, that's on me. It's a 1-on-1. It's a breakaway. I gotta make that stop. By the way, I think he got a little too much credit for one of the saves he made toward the end of regulation.
One of the right?
The glove save?
Yeah. Which wasn't the gloves. Yeah, the one where he flashed the leather.
Yeah.
Upon second viewing, I'm like, did he even get the puck? Or did it just go high? Did he deflect it?
The one I'm thinking of, he got.
Okay. Well, he definitely didn't grab the puck.
No, I know the one you're talking about. I think it went high.
Yeah, I think it went high, too. And there, boom. I can do that, too, with a puck that's sailing over the crossbar and goes over my glove.
Turn your head.
Just relax.
It looks good. It looks good.
Flash the leather. Whoosh.
We have some breaking news we're going to need to get to.
This is Breaking Sports News.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't even know what it is. Well, oh, there it is. I see it now.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Well, this is...
National story, not a local.
According to Pat McAfee...
Ian Rappaport has it, too.
Okay. Who has a pretty good connection with Aaron Rodgers. He says Aaron will officially be returning to the Green Bay Packers There is no deal in place currently, but there is said to be a cap-friendly deal on the way. Retirement was a real consideration, and in the end, he is back with the Pack in all caps.
Oh, no, here's the details. Ian Rappaport has the actual money.
Oh, boy.
The Packers and MVP quarterback Aaron Rodgers have agreed to terms on a four-year, $200 million deal makes him the highest paid player in NFL history, sources say.
Holy Jesus.
He gets a whopping $153 million guaranteed, and his cap number will, in fact, go down. As Ian writes, a monstrous commitment by Green Bay for years to come.
How does the cap number go down on a four-year, $200 million deal?
Cap is crap, buddy.
What was his number going into next year?
He was at 40.
It might go down this year, but it's going to go up.
There were stories this morning that it was going to set the market. I'm like, well, how's it going to set the quarterback market and take it to another level when the Mahomes deal was what that was? And this guy at this age, coming off an MVP year, which is important to him, but didn't win the whole damn
thing. If it goes down next year, what's his cap hit going to be in years two and three? Is 60?
He and LaFleur are good then, right? Oh, how'd you like to be Jordan Love today, waking up and hearing this? Not that you were the next guy, but wow. Holy crap.
$153 million guaranteed.
What is it that Kyler Murray wanted exactly?
Well, he wants to win, and he wants to win for the people of Arizona.
He wants to win a Super Bowl really, really, really bad for the hardcore fans. He wants north of 40.
Also, the Packers will now reportedly be franchise tagging Devontae Adams to keep both players around.
To save even more money. Hardy's right. Tell me how this helps them cap.
Okay, now I don't want to move off Aaron Rodgers. It's his day. It's his story.
Oh, man.
If you're Tom Brady and you see what he just signed for 4 years.
It's me or him as the MVP last year.
What are you giving me for two? What do you give me for a year? Maybe two.
It starts at 50. You're better than Rodgers. It's
17 with incentives.
Shut up. It starts at 50. For me to come out of retirement, it starts at 50. For me to go back to Tampa, now Tampa supposedly is going to franchise Godwin today. So you still have Mike Evans and Godwin there. Problem is you have no offensive line.
The Packers can only do this deal with the expectation of the cap going way up due to the new TV deal.
Yeah, correct.
That's the only reason why they can make this
gambling
this
money,
deal with
new TV contracts,
right.
All of it.
So it may not affect a guy like Brady as much as we'd like to
tell
think.
Tell me again how the NFL's hypocritical for taking in all this gambling money as they just handed a guy a $200 million contract for 4 years.
I don't see Calvin Ridley getting that deal.
$153 million guaranteed.
Holy crap.
For that guy. Oh, yeah, Brady's back. Oh, no question. The money's too big. The opportunity's too big.
But Brady doesn't have four years left.
Right. He could get the one. You get the one for 50.
But the reason why they're giving him that is because the cap is going to go so much higher. What did Bert tell us? 23
right.
or 24?
You can't push Tom Brady's money into 2024.
Right.
You can do it with Aaron Rodgers. So I don't know why you think it'd be so easy for him to call up a team that he's under contract with and say, I need another $25 million for this year. Wait, what? Because that is the number, right? He makes 25?
Yeah.
Yeah. I need you to double my salary before I come back. Well,
the market changed. Paid accordingly. Which guy has more impact for his team, Rodgers or Brady? I mean, Brady went to Tampa and turned it around, their culture.
Sure. But Brady for the last 2 years was playing on what was not the richest quarterback in the NFL.
Nope.
And he was winning a Super Bowl in one of those two seasons. And he did not demand to make the top money.
Two things. One, I can't believe the money, and I can't believe he's going back to Green Bay. I thought he was gone.
Gone? Well, made it an easy decision for him.
Yeah, they did.
They gave him $153 million guaranteed. That's not much of a choice.
He didn't seem happy there. Like, the guy, he played well, didn't seem happy there.
He'll continue to be unhappy in Green Bay with his $200 million.
He's going to bitch. He's going to continue to bitch and be himself. This ain't going to change him.
Where's he going to be happy?
He's not. I don't think he could ever be happy.
He's not going to be happy. It's not who he is. Doesn't need to be happy.
Oh, wait, do you hear from him on this when they do the press conference? Oh man, he's gonna talk about himself and you know the opportunities and the.
You
people
put a lot on those press conferences.
Sure does.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Well, because he holds court.
Big believer in.
He holds court. He's got. He goes up there.
Well, he's going to be on McAfee today.
There you go. That will be his press conference. That's coming up. Hardy has headlines right now.
Jesus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Can you feel it? Really exciting, right?
Woo! Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pat McAfee says that number is wrong. He's saying that Ian Rappaport has an inaccurate report on this.
Okay, is it more or less?
Don't know. I don't know. But that's what he's got. It's inaccurate.
Okay, so we got a guy, you know, like Jim Laughlin just said, because we got a guy that's making $30 million a year on YouTube. That was a show on YouTube. Is going to be interviewing a guy that's going to make $50 million. And now the guy on YouTube is saying that the actual one of the top reporters for the NFL has the numbers wrong. And Ian Rappaport, numbers wrong. This guy's connected to Rodgers, though. Like, he knows. I just want to know if it's more or less.
It says, news of four-year, $200 million deal is not accurate, according to my sources.
That tone means, that tone to me tells me it's going to be more.
There's no tone to that.
Well, he's connected to Rodgers. Like, they want it out there. Like, that's a wrong number. Like, he's going to go on Rodgers to talk about. He's going to go on with Rodgers and talk
okay.
about.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be more.
All right.
I bet it's more.
Tom is in Worcester. Hey, Tom.
Hi. Good morning. How are you guys?
Hi.
Good.
Guys, what are your salaries? Like $3-4 million, I'm guessing.
Pardon me?
What's that? You cut out.
Ridley, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, what'd you say? What is his salary? It's $11 million.
$11 million. You don't think that's excessive fine? $11 million?
No, because I don't think it's a fine. It's by way of kicking you out of the sport. It would have been the same if a guy were making $1 million.
Yeah, you're on suspension.
I understand that, but you think about what that league gives out in penalties for human beings trying to hurt human beings. It's pretty petty ass compared to finding, you know, taking guys $11 million away.
Yeah, but you told you can't gamble. You gambled on your own sport.
Yeah,
you gambled on your own sport. What do people miss here?
I don't understand what the problem is here, and I get what he's saying that there are lesser penalties for things that players have done off the field in terms of
tons of violations
or
in the league.
Sexual assault or anything that they've been involved in. I would just say this, though. The NFL is not the sole entity responsible for enforcing the law, okay?
Right.
When it comes to actual
criminal.
Illegal criminal activity, excuse me. That they're not the only body responsible for that. Right?
Right.
The law is supposed, and then, you know, courts.
It's one thing they can't control.
Are supposed to take care of the assaults and any other items that may be going on. And obviously, an employer has a right to do something beyond that, as it's been proven in the NFL. The NFL does have the right to have additional punishment beyond what you face in the real world. What this is something that only the NFL can enforce as part of their rules and their policies. It is not illegal for Calvin Ridley to go to the sports book and make a bet. The law is not coming for Calvin Ridley. However, the NFL can. It is a really just, it's so simple. I don't understand.
I don't know. Like, there's words we
can't
say on air.
It's a no-tolerance policy.
Yeah.
And it's been told to players a million times that it is a no-tolerance policy. And there is plenty of previous examples. I know it's a handful, but it's pretty obvious now where you, at a minimum, get a year. Minimum. That's what you get. So nothing about this was unexpected. Nothing about this was different or excessive. It is firmly in line with everything the league has done prior to this in these cases. So what? I don't get it. What's the argument to say it's excessive? Based on what?
I don't know. It's quite simple. So it's the one thing you can't do. It's clear. You can't gamble on your own sport. Then now you're going to say it's too excessive?
I'm not.
No, but I don't. You know, people feel bad for him. Like, oh, it's only $1,500. Doesn't matter if it was five. Doesn't matter if it was $1.5 million. You can't do it. So,
still waiting on these Aaron Rodgers numbers now. Can't just.
Time to go on with McAfee.
Can't wait to see what it is. I mean, those are very specific numbers that Rappaport put out there.
He's pretty good when he gets his numbers. I mean, they are. Him and Schefter. I mean, it's hard to refute those. You don't get that a lot. Oh, those numbers are off. That tells me it's more. Like, that. If that information got out that quickly to McAfee from Rogers' side, you're not hurry up and rushing to tell somebody, oh, I'm making a lot less than that.
Yeah, and Rap Sheet says this was no easy decision. Rogers considered retirement and the Broncos, and in the end, the Packers get it done. They commit to Aaron Rodgers for many years. And also, he does follow up on that about Devontae Adams, that thanks to the new cap room created by the deal, the Packers are expected to franchise tag Devontae Adams. The carousel of quarterbacks is not happening, so.
It really isn't.
It's not happening. All Rogers this hype.
They're all staying put. Every single one of them staying put.
Doesn't feel like a lot of guys are moving.
Seems like Tampa may have the clamps on Brady, too. Clamps on Brady. Watson's the only guy that's really up for grabs right now, it seems.
It's a fun game to play, but it doesn't really seem like there's going to be much that happens
as a
result of it.
We got the Mitch Trubisky market still to come down, too, though. I mean, that's going to be a big one.
How about a Red Sox update? Where do things stand on the negotiating front with Major League Baseball and its players? Are they bridging the gap? Are they finding a way to get things done before their new deadline? There's a new deadline in which they will uncancel the games they canceled. Can you cancel a game and then have it be uncanceled?
Uncanceled, yeah.
Can you do that?
Sounds like it.
Yeah, we'll get to that next.
Get your doubleheaders ready.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Bertrand and the guy who has to put up with both of them. Hardy.
Hey, nice shirt. Where'd you get that? At the crappy shirt store? Just kidding. How you doing?
Zolak and Bertrand.
And Hardy. How you doing?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Major League Baseball and the MLBPA back together again, guys. They're sitting down at the table trying to hammer out the details. The MLB Players Trust has launched $500,000 fund, by the way, to how much is in the fund for the ballpark employees?
It's a million.
Oh, it's a million. Mm. Okay, I'm sorry. $1 million, they've done that. Today, MLB created a $1 million fund for spring training ballpark workers. They're like having this PR battle with their, you know, pocket change over, we'll take care of the workers. No, we'll take care of the workers.
How much do you think that is per person?
For what?
$1 million split however many ways?
You mean for the Players Association?
The pool of money for the
based
workers.
On the number of workers, I have no idea. I have
like
no idea.
$10.
Yeah. It doesn't. It doesn't
like
sound
a day's
like much.
Work.
Yeah,
it's like a coupon for a hell of a good dip or something. Yeah. Right. You know?
Giant home cooked meatball.
Yeah.
Bring your hands. You can put them right in your hands.
We're going to have a buffet hot lunch today, yep. And we'd like to all thank the owners of Major League Baseball.
Oban Pam will bring lunch, the half sandwich and soup.
This is the 97th day of the lockout, and both sides are going to continue to meet today, having negotiating sessions. There is a deadline tonight to get a deal done that would keep intact a 162-game season. This is so odd, though, because they've already canceled the first six games. And if they don't get a deal done tonight, they will then cancel another week of the season.
So they're going to cancel another week of the season.
But what if you get a deal done next week?
I don't think
you can. Can you then take back the second canceled week of games?
Sure, absolutely.
This is the problem when you start doing this.
Triple headers.
See,
yeah.
What did I tell you? Baseball gets hurt by canceling games. They don't want to cancel games. Maybe now is the time to use hollow threat, Hardy. Maybe now that's the best way to phrase it at this point.
Now it makes sense. Now that
works. Improperly used hollow threat as a phrase, but it's a threat that they don't like making, and they so badly hate themselves for it that they want to now put those games back on the schedule, because the league does not want to miss games either. Yet here they are still arguing over the amount of money on the CBT. And if owners want to get a deal done, they're going to have to move off that 220, and they're going to have to move off of it significantly. That's it. They either move or they don't.
You feel good, Milliken?
They're trying to break the players, and the players keep saying no.
No.
It's going to be a no.
Yeah, if I was a betting man, I would not bet on it. Andy Martino, so they met this morning already once. He said there was some hope, but optimism would be still too strong a word. There's still $50 million in the gap for the pre-R bonus pool as well. And the latest jump the MLB owners made, going to, you know, 228 is the first year for the CBT, all the way up to 238, it hasn't been revealed yet, but apparently there's major strings attached for that increase, which I can't see going over well.
So forget it. Don't have hope.
Yeah, it just feels
I'm
like
not hopeful.
Another false, you know, to where else. Okay, you get the attention again that, and then you give the look that you want this thing to get done. You would have figured it out last week. You lock yourself in a damn room and you figure this thing freaking out. Now all of a sudden it's going to be like you said. Now all of a sudden you find a way to get to 162, or you already canceled. Doesn't make any sense. You already canceled the first week of the season. Canceled the first two series.
Done. Yeah, Ken Rosenthal also came out last night after all this started to come out and basically said two players, neither of them were feeling good about the way it was going to play out. They weren't optimistic for today.
All right, then we'll stop talking about it then. That's what we'll do. Fine. They're not close. They're not going to get a deal done. False hope. Get back to us when you get a deal done. John is in Hampton. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. So I was just going to see if you saw that video online.
You did.
Ridley.
We did. What's your thought on it?
I don't know. It looks clear to me, and I'm just seeing if you guys think they're still looking back, and if they do find that he did some of that on purpose, is the punishment going to get a lot worse?
I watched it again, and he catches a slant from the left, runs up the middle, and there's two safeties. And what he does is, like, the one guy had an angle on him, so he did have to cut left. And then all of a sudden you feel like you're going down, you go down. And I didn't know the point of the game. I got to look at the time and all that stuff. But if we're going to be doing this, nitpicking every damn game, then he was a really bad gambler, what he did.
Yeah.
That's the funny part of this is, like, you're not very good at gambling, so why are you even doing it to begin with?
I think on any of these plays, of all the plays that are circulating in that video,
yeah,
I can't find one that clearly shows anything that is something that couldn't have happened in the course of a game.
I'll go back to Patriots games with Randy Moss, where he completely just didn't even put any effort or dogged a play that it was away from him.
The one that would have had a guaranteed touchdown. He thinks he's running away from the defender. I don't think he saw the second defender.
He didn't, yeah.
And then realized, oh, crap.
That's why he broke left.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the second defender had the angle on him.
And the one where he catches it near the first down marker and then goes back 2 yards, he's trying to make a play. He's trying to break free and get across the field and then pick up another 10. Like,
yeah, it happens every day in the league.
Come on.
Every game in the
league. You're reaching.
Yep.
And again, and if that's what was going on and he was so involved in gambling, he's not sitting there on an app in Florida making 8-team parlays. He's a Freddie Fanny Pack is what he is. Mark in Medford. Hi, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? So
So yesterday when I found out that Linus Allmark was the starting goalie, I questioned it. And I said, why wouldn't you start the guy who shut this team out 7-0 with 34 saves? Now, I think maybe Allmark might be a commodity at the trade deadline along
The contract. Who wants that deal?
Who wants to have $15 million left?
Yeah, well, right? I was going to say the $5.5 million kind of makes it suck a little bit, but I don't think he's right for this team, guys.
I agree with you. I don't think last night was his worst night, though. I actually thought he was okay last night.
Well, he made a couple of great saves, but the game winner in overtime, that was a 15-foot wrist shot from the top of the faceoff circle.
Well, yeah, he's not good. I'm not telling you he's good. I think he's trash. I think the Bruins, big swing and a miss on this player.
I actually had a similar thought, too.
Which is?
As Mark at Medford. Why not throw Swayman out there after he didn't have his best game the game before? Throw him out there again, see how he reacts.
I don't know.
You're going to need him every other day in the playoffs.
Yeah. Sort of get him right back on the horse, you know? Maybe. I just think they look at it as they break up the workload, and they look at the schedule, and they look at the days that the games are played, and they try and get the guys the most rest.
And I don't think Cassidy's sitting there looking at, oh, he beat the Kings 7-0 last time we played him. We'll make sure he planks him at home, too. Yeah, let's line him up directly with that. No.
Joey in Kingston. Hey, Joey.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Good.
So Calvin Ridley's one of these guys that I thought the Patriots had their eye on, and he'd be a good fit for the team. So my wife last night during the Bruins game goes, who's Calvin Ridley? And I go, why, did the Pats pick him up? And she goes, no, he's been suspended for a year for gambling. And when stuff like this happens, the first thing I think of is the word's been all around the world and that only stupid people are reading. He deserves to be suspended. He had one job, gamble on anything, a degenerate gamble, but stay away from football. And he couldn't do it. So he deserves it, just for being stupid.
Harvey Danger reference. That might be the first time ever.
It's a slow news cycle in Joey's house. I thought Joey would be a little more up to speed.
His wife's breaking him news.
I mean, the wife had to inform you of that? She didn't even know who Calvin Ridley was, and she had the item.
My wife doesn't.
She had the news. Right?
My wife didn't even know he's suspended for gambling. Yeah.
What time did that happen yesterday? Like 3 o'clock?
Yeah, Burke, Dorn, Felger, and Mass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's funny, earlier we played the Russo stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know that when Mike, did you hear the Felger and Mass had the audio of Russo and Francesa giving him the award? I guess they called him Jim Felger.
Is there audio of that?
Russo, yes, they played it. They played it. I think it was it the final word that they played it? I can't remember. But yeah, they have the audio of Mad Dog and Francesa presenting Felger and Mass, you know, the award. And, you know, I go on with these guys at the Super Bowl all the time. And, you know, it's Mass and he does high heat stuff and then, and, you know, Jim Felger. I'm just kidding. I knew his name was Mike. I had to correct him. It's Mike Felger.
He's probably just thinking of Big Jim. That's what
probably. Probably.
Jim Felger.
We're going to call him Jim now.
Jimmy. Jimmy Felger.
Yeah. James Felger.
I think T-Bone's at the computer, which means I feel like you might play that, but we're going to go to headlines.
Yeah. We'll get it.
Hardy has the headlines. He's got you covered. News in the NFL. There's a quarterback staying put. He has that. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.